Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's 8 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game tonight.
Let's keep it going now.
On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, 92.9 The Game tonight. It's Abe Gordon here, live in the Kia Studios. And we're talking all about the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, I don't know how many days this is going to continue. Like, I feel like this discussion of whether you like the draft, whether you don't, boy, it could probably go on for quite a while. I'm not suggesting we're literally just going to roll out the phones every day, but we're certainly doing that tonight. And here's the thing that I said at the start, and I'll say it again. There's no right or wrong here. It's just how you feel about the draft. I personally am frustrated because I don't feel they're maximizing their opportunities to win with Kirk Cousins. You don't have to feel that way. In fact, I would say more callers tonight have felt differently, and that's fine. But I do appreciate that. I think we've kept it relatively cordial, including what is usually a toxic Twitter feed. But even the people on Twitter who are yelling at me have been relatively nice about it. So That's nice to see.
Two things about that. One, you remember that Saturday practice, the famous Saturday practice from training camp where they stopped letting folks in because they had so many folks coming in?
Yeah.
I kind of feel, and this is kind of weird to say, there's a level of excitement right now, both good and bad, on both ends, where it kind of rivals that, where there's a buzz right now about this team, whether you want to admit to it or not.
Yeah. See, here's my problem, though. What would the buzz be if it was a different draft? And that's my thing. I actually think the buzz died down when you drafted Michael Penix. And I don't think the ability of the team, the likelihood of them winning, I've said that. They're going to win the NFC South. Whatever.
They better.
I don't think the buzz, but like, what would the buzz be if it was Dallas Turner and Kool-Aid McKinstry? Or Roma Dunze and whoever you would get as a pass rusher in round two? Like, the buzz is not as big as it would have been. And that, I mean, I think it has killed a little bit of momentum of the offseason. Part of that has to do with how people feel Kirk Cousins was mildly slighted. I'll say this, because I've heard this before, too, and I just there's no quarterback controversy, guys. Like, nothing Michael Penix can do in training camp or OTAs is going to impact who QB1 is. Like, it's Kirk Cousins.
It's his.
It's Kirk Cousins for 2 years. Minimum 2 years.
And even saying that, even if something was to happen to Kirk early in the season, I don't think it's Michael Penix even early. I think it's Taylor Heinicke early in the season, too.
Through week three or four. Once you get to week five, I think Penix becomes QB2.
But one way or another, though, I think people are genuinely interested now. Falcons fans, and maybe not even, but the national media itself, the national narrative itself, people all across the country, they want to see how this works out because it was such a...
You're talking storylines, though? I'm talking winning games. That's the problem. You're talking about interesting articles and stuff about can you win more games than you would have, and I just don't know.
I think the winning part comes in it, too, because of the quotes that were made by Terry and Raheem over the weekend where it was, we don't plan on being in a position to draft this high again. So the wins and losses now coming to it too.
I'm not comfortable with that comment either. Like that's my thing.
Why not?
Because I wanted to go all in. And if that requires when Kirk Cousins' time here is done, if that requires we have a year or two real rough to get that quarterback because we're 4-13 again, I was willing to accept that. I was willing to live with that. Now, I'm not the one who gets fired if you are in that role, and that's something they're considering. Don't let that get twisted either. But I was willing to live with the idea that you went after it, and if you don't reach those heights and you have to take a major step back, then we do.
That's what's kind of I was okay with teams, that. Though, with you, if it doesn't work, it becomes a – so I think that's what where the Falcons kind of had issues before with that weird sort of – after 2012, it wasn't broken down all the way. It was more or less, let's just see if we can try to fix this a different sort of way before Dan Quinn got here. They didn't break it down all the way. And maybe, I don't know, maybe.
You also don't know the scenarios. Like you just don't know the scenario then. Like, there might be more free agent quarterbacks on the market when Kirk Cousins wants to step aside. Like, I have no idea, but, like, what's to say Tua is finishing up a contract then and isn't being re-signed by a man? Like, it could be anyone, whoever it is. Like, you just don't know. You never know the situation. All right, your phone calls here, 404-726-0929. I'm frustrated because I just thought we were going to maximize the draft in terms of our ability to win with Kirk Cousins, and I don't feel they did that. That doesn't mean they can't win, doesn't mean they won't win. But I don't think you're maximizing the likelihood that you win. That's all. Eddie is on line one. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, man, it's always good to talk to you, brother. A couple of points. First of all, I got the 28-3 gut punch when they chose Michael Penix, bro. Like, I was dumbfounded, right? And so, like you, I had a couple of days to reflect, and I said, okay, well, news came out that New Orleans Saints were going to trying to move up to get Michael Penix. Can you imagine? And this is just a thought, right? Can you imagine Michael Penix lighting us up for the next 10 years and we had a chance to take him? That's just kind of a fun thing, right? Now, in terms of the defense, so I was a little dumbfounded, too, about Rook Arororo and Braylon Trice, but I then began to kind of dig about the 3-4 defense. That Rook Arororo guy and Braylon Trice, too, they're going to eat up blockers. And our linebackers, Troy Anderson, we always talk about his speed. They're going to be able to rush those lanes and get to the quarterback. So in this new 3-4 defense, you know, your linebackers are going to be the ones really rushing the passers while those boys up front eat up blocks, kind of like Aaron Donald did, right? But Aaron Donald was a beast, and he was able to –
Yeah, I was going to say not quite like Aaron Donald did, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. So I kind of see where this is going. In terms of being all in, I got to wrestle with you on that one. You don't spend $180 million and not be all in. You don't.
Then how do you defend picking Penix? Then how do you defend picking Penix as opposed to a player that's going to help you while you have that $180 million?
He's your best player on the board. Three teams tried to jump up to get Penix, so he was obviously better than any
no,
of us.
No,
rated.
See, those teams were addressing
no
their need. This is where you lose me. I appreciate the call. Those three teams were addressing a need. The Raiders, the Vikings, and the Broncos need a quarterback. The Atlanta Falcons didn't need a quarterback. They took one. What they needed was an elite pass rusher or elite corner, which they punted on. And look, who knows? Like I said, you don't know if Dallas Turner or Latu is going to be elite. Maybe you miss on that pick. But maybe you miss on Penix, too. Like, it's nothing's a sure thing. It's not about whether or not the player works out. It's about whether I thought he gives you the best opportunity to win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. And I just don't think he does. And again, the premise, I can't believe how many people are not giving any consideration to the idea that Michael Penix could fail. I'm hoping he doesn't, right? We all hope he doesn't. There's a lot of quarterbacks, though, in the first round that haven't worked out.
I asked that question to Carl today, just what if this doesn't work out and you're left now with a quarterback that is not the guy you thought he was,
right,
and your pass rush and your secondary are still subpar.
Well, guess what? You're going to be in the position that Raheem Morris just said we weren't going to be in. That's what happens. And look, I think that Penix is going to work out. But, like, this premise of, like, oh, well, thank goodness he's not cutting us up with the Saints. Like, what if he went to the Saints and was Jameis 2.0? Like, I don't know. That might have been fun for us, especially if we had drafted a corner that could help him add to a 30-pick total. Who knows? Jason online too, chatting here on 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon taking you all the way till 10 o'clock. What's going on, Jason?
What's going on, guys? Hey, thank y'all so much for taking my call. Here is where I think everybody's missed. I was at the stadium. Matter of fact, I went viral. I was a bald-headed dude with a gray beard that's viral of how disappointed I was with that pick. So I did not like that pick. However, I had a chance to sleep it off, wake up in the morning, and I thought about something. I'm going to say this, let you have it. Thank you so much for calling my call. Next year, we are going to have to deal with the Kirk issues with the tampering thing. Next year, we're going to lose our first round pick.
I don't think it's going to be that extreme. I don't think it's going to be that extreme.
This is me. It happened in the past where people lose their first round pick. I think that Fontenot and everybody, hey, they got a bug in their ear. And they said, well, let me go ahead and take care of what I wanted to do next year, the 2025, so that we can already be set. Yes, the next 2 years is Kirk. But next year they won't be able to pick a first rounder. So I think that was the thing, the reason why they made that choice. I think they was all in on an edge until someone put a bug in their ear that they're going to lose their first-round pick. That's my thought. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for joining, Jason. Here's my thing. That would give you even more reason to pick someone that could help you out. That works counterintuitive, in my opinion. Like, that means in two straight years, you're not going to pick someone in the first round that helps out your team. It's tough to win doing that, guys. It's not impossible, like I said. And I think this team is really good. I thought this team could be a contender. And again, it still doesn't mean they won't be. It's just more likely with a first-round guy helping out the team this year. And in terms of the tampering, the Miami Dolphins tampering with Tom Brady, I think, is a different situation than what the Falcons are dealing with Kirk Cousins. Look, it might be more extreme than we want it to be. I don't think it's going to be a first rounder. I could be wrong. I don't think it's going to be a first rounder, though. We'll just have to wait and see on that. But again, if you don't have a first rounder next year, even more reason to try and get someone that's going to impact the squad now. That's how I view that. Andrew on line three. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, if you got a pick in the top 10, that player has to come in and make a difference. To me, like, you don't always get these top 10 picks. Let's say best case scenario, right? We've got Kirk Cousins for 2 years. Next year we get to the NFC Championship, and we lose because our defense can't stop. The following year, we win the Super Bowl. Kirk Cousins is the MVP. The best case scenario, Kirk Cousins is the MVP. Now he's on his third year. He's on a team more friendly deal, and he's the Super Bowl MVP. We still aren't going to see Michael Penix. So 3 years, we don't see if this guy is even a bust.
Yeah, I want to let you finish, Andrew, but I just want to pause here for a second. If any of this results in a Super Bowl, I'm not going to care anymore that Penix does. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be funny or, like, dump on the idea, but, like, if any of this results in a Super Bowl in any way, I'm not even going to care that I disagreed with the pick or that we don't see Penix or that you use a fifth-year option. I'll just be so happy it won't matter. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking, like, you know, it could potentially be 3 years before we even see this guy take meaningful snaps on the field to know whether he is an NFL quarterback or not. And then, like, you know, at that point, like, what's his value if he isn't? You know, like, I mean, he is nothing. We just completely wasted – you know, a first round pick, a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Andrew. The toughest part of this is that third year, right? Because if Cousins does play that third year, you either just let Penix play 1 year or you pick up an option without ever really having seen him. And you got 2 years to decide. And ultimately, that's probably what you would have to do. But look, the guys believe in him that much that they spent a first-round pick on him when they really didn't need to, in my opinion. And so if it came to it where Kirk Cousins plays three seasons, I actually think they would pick up a fifth-year option without ever having him on the field. Or maybe just seeing mop-up duty, stuff like that. All right, when we get back, going to continue with the phone calls. We got Eric, we got Bush, we got Yo, we got Chris, we got Ty. One line open, 404-726-0929. You guys know where I stand on this. A little bit of frustration. But that's all right. This team's still good. I do believe that. More on the other side. It's Abe Gordon here on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
.9 The Game. Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios. Monday evening, reacting to the NFL draft. A lot of people had a chance to react to Michael Penix being drafted on Friday, or even over the weekend, as it may be. I didn't have an opportunity to do that, at least not on air, and people changed some Twitter messages and whatnot, but getting my first opportunity to go through the entire NFL draft for the Falcons, and yeah, just a little bit frustrated. Real quick, before we get back to the phones, just in case you missed the news earlier today, the Atlanta Falcons did pick up the fifth-year option of Kyle Pitts. I think it was a pretty easy discussion. The money doesn't kill you. And again, you're pairing Pitts' timeline with Kirk Cousins' timeline. That's at worst. But also more potential to see what he can do, what he can bring you when he's a little bit healthier and when he has a competent quarterback. And so we'll get an eye and maybe have an opportunity to see if he does deserve a longer extension. 404-726-0929, taking your calls. How do you feel about the NFL draft? Just because I already know what he's going to say, let's go ahead and start it off. Line four, let's catch up with Yo.
What's going on, Abe?
What's up, brother?
Oh, you know me, just sitting here smiling like a Falcon fan, brother. So, you know, I want to talk about, not round one, because you obviously know where I feel.
I do.
But I want to talk about round 2 through 7.
Yep.
And I want to bring everybody to the realization that our defensive line has a couple of great older players. They're very good. They're very big. They're very strong. But unfortunately, they get double teamed a lot. And what the Falcons did was they said, we're going to get younger, we're going to get bigger, and we're going to get faster. We're going to get guys who can rush the passer from the interior. And when you look at somebody like Chris Jones, who is at this point, because obviously, you know, the old man in the Rams retired, Chris Jones is the best defensive tackle in football, but he's like 6'6", 310. He's long, he's strong, and he's big. He can anchor the point of attack. He can also rush on the center or the guards. So what they decided to do was say, listen, let's take that exact same formula and let's do it with guys who are going to be a little bit cheaper because we're getting them in the second, third, and fifth round. And with Zion, they got him in like the sixth, or was that the seventh?
That was six, pick 197.
Okay. So what they decided was that the easiest way to get from point A to point B was a straight line. It's not on the outside with a lightweight linebacker. It is right up the gut. And so that allows us to stop the run, because if you go to Raheem Morris's press conference, when he talked about pass rush and sacks and all that, he said, look, the first way you get to pressure the quarterback is stop the run. Once you make a team one-dimensional, then you have the ability to do all the other things. So they pick Rook Aroro, and yeah, he's raw. But you know what? You stick him in there, and you put Grady on one side, Onyemata on the other, and maybe Catavia Street down there, and now you can get a pass rush with a four-man defensive line. And that was the one thing that destroyed Brady, because Brady lost to the New York Giants, and all they did was rush four. That was the one thing that affected Kirk Cousins, because Kirk has a problem if you put pressure right up the middle. And to be honest, because everybody likes to kill Penix, the one thing that Penix struggled against was the exact same thing that we did on defense, which is pressure right up the middle. If you can get pressure up the middle, then you eliminate the idea of having to have a guy go around these massive offensive tackles that are in the league. And I'm just going to say that, like, look, everybody watched Turner because he's in the SEC. Everybody was talking about Latu, but he's the same age as Penix, and he has a broken neck. We did great in this draft, and it will show this year. I believe, truly believe, that we're going to not only make it to the playoffs, win the South, we're going to actually win playoff games. And we might find ourselves in the Super Bowl. But you know what? We only got a couple years of prime, absolutely prime Kirk Cousins. And the thing in Minnesota that they never really did was solidify that defense. And we know that because they lost to Daniel Jones. Are you freaking kidding me? Love the show, Abe. Talk to you later, brother.
Yeah, appreciate it, yo. Here's the thing that's my concern. Like, first off, he's not Chris Jones and he's not Aaron Donald. Secondly, I don't think – I mean, we'll see how they line up. I don't know if you're moving Onyemata outside. Onyemata's your nose. He did a pretty good job of stopping the run. I don't care about whether these guys could come in and stop the run. We're not losing to teams because we give up the run. We're losing to teams because we can't sack the quarterback and because we don't have a second cornerback. Like, up the middle's nonsense. We got to get guys on the ground. We got to make it so they're not wide open downfield. We had an opportunity to potentially do that, and we didn't do it. I don't have any problem with the other picks. I don't have a problem with these picks. You're relying on a couple of them to break out, no doubt about that. I don't have any issue with the picks. I don't know how all of them are going to see the field at the same time. And to me, when we came into the draft, we said we need three starters. We got potentially one, maybe two, all at the same position. So really, we're back to one. I just wanted to maximize the potential, and I don't know if we did that. Eric on line 5. What's going on, Eric?
I appreciate you taking the call. I'm going to kind of go a different route. What I kind of thought myself was, you know, this is the first coach that our GM's had any voice in hiring. So you got a whole new staff and everything coming in and reevaluating the talent on that staff. So what if the two coaches are that far away on the talent level and how they judge talent that they're really further away than we think? I don't think – I've watched the Falcons for 50 years, since I was 10 years old. And season tickets for over 30 years. We are a lot further away from being a Super Bowl contender than what I think you think we are.
I mean, that's the point, is I don't think we're close anymore. But I still think we're the best team in the NFC South. But, yeah.
But barely. I mean, and you're talking about the worst division in football.
That's right.
Too.
Yeah, you're the best team in the worst division in football, yes.
What are they trying to do without trying to do it? It's called a rebuild. And they don't want to say rebuild. And the first thing you're going to start with a rebuild, if you don't have a quarterback for long term, is draft what?
I understand that, but then why pay Kirk Cousins $100 million? Like, teams don't rebuild. This isn't college football. You don't rebuild while winning.
No, no, but they want to satisfy your fan base. If they were not to have a quarterback.
But here's the thing. Look, I appreciate the call, Eric. Here's the thing. If you wanted to satisfy the fan base, draft Michael Penix at 8 and use the $45 million this year and the $45 million next year in free agency and find some defenders. Like, I don't think people would have been mad about that. I know we spent a lot of this offseason talking about what are the Falcons going to do at quarterback. The draft was one of those options. And you guys, and I do too, we all seem so comfortable with Michael Penix straight off the bat. That should have been, if that was the plan, that should be the plan. And we could have used the money to help build the team elsewhere. And I feel just the same. Like, I would feel like if we had paid whomever it may be, Danielle Hunter or Phillips out of Miami, maybe a couple corners, and then spent the first round pick on Penix, I'd feel the exact same way as I do now, which is that this team is the best team in the NFC South. They're going to win the division. But how far can they go in the playoffs? I have no issue with the idea of rebuilding. But you don't rebuild while trying to win. It's not college football. You don't reload at the NFL level. Bush on line 6. What's going on, Bush?
You know, I was sitting in the same exact place I'm sitting right now, and I want to throw my shoe at the television when he drafted Michael Penix, because I personally didn't think that the value was there for Dallas Turner. Let's just be honest. When he was on the team or the field with Will Anderson, he was the second best or third best pass rusher, right? And then the value, and they also wanted to go up and get Latu. I think the problem with the Falcons is that they didn't know if Penix would still be there at 8, and they got scared and they got gunshot. And so they went and got the best quarterback so that when they went into the draft, that they could possibly could from free agency, so that when they went into the draft, they wouldn't have to worry about a quarterback. But when he did fall, they went ahead and took him. Stupid move, by my estimate. I understand that part. But the one thing that Yo said that I agree with is that they did draft defense. And that's all I really wanted them to do. Well, however you do it, make it happen. And they might be running multiples. And there's still some safeties and cornerbacks in free agency for them to pick
up. Yeah, the free agent. So, I'm just concerned about the money. I don't know where they have money. They're going to have to do something to create money. And again, if they can get free agents on defense, specifically in the secondary, I'll be a lot more in favor of this draft than I am. Like it's all about what this team's makeup and build is heading into the season. And right now, I have questions. Did they address some of the issues we have in the front? In the defensive front. Yeah, they did. But they absolutely ignored the entirety of the issues in the secondary. Maybe they feel as a secondary, guys with DB backgrounds and head coach Raheem Morris and even your defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake, that they can coach guys up. Maybe they feel that these guys are on the roster. Here's my problem. A lot of people said the answer was on the roster last year in the name of Desmond Ridder. He wasn't the answer. So who are we being told in the secondary is the answer this year? We got one more phone call here up to the top line one with Chris. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, man? I just want to say this real quick. Ever since Terry Fondo got hired, I've been hearing this phrase, let Terry cook, let Terry cook. Well, in my opinion, on Thursday night, he started a grease fire. In my opinion, he burned the entire kitchen down. And it has nothing to do with Michael Penix, the player. It has everything to do with our philosophy as a team. I'm 31 years old. I've been a Falcons fan since I was 5. We have always neglected the trenches, always. And it shows. We're one of the worst pass rush teams every single year. And what do? We go to the draft, we get a receiver, we get a running back, we get another receiver, we get a tight end. We keep trying to build from the outside in. And the thing that really ticked me off with Terry was that he came to the post-draft presser saying, well, we didn't want to reach. We wanted to get our guys. Well, you went and drafted Rook, who had a mid-third-round grade, and you gave up draft picks to move up and get them early in the second round. If that's not a reach, I don't know what is. And especially considering with number 8 pick, you could have traded back and double-dipped and got Latu and Turner. And for me as a fan, it's so frustrating year after year we keep neglecting the trenches. For as long as I've been alive, we've had an abysmal pass rush. And what do? We keep saying, oh, yeah, we're going to get this guy. And we keep trying to project these journeyman camp body defensive linemen to be the next big thing. And I understand that Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley didn't work out, but you have to keep going back to that well every year in the draft until you find your guy to get the quarterback on the ground. I don't care. Look at what San Francisco did. 4 years in a row in the first round, they drafted pass rushers. And what happened? They became the best defense in the NFL. We have to keep going back to that well until we find our guys. And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Chris. Couple things. And that's where my frustration boils down to, is that you didn't even try. You didn't even try and get that guy. And that's part of the reason I'm mad. In terms of, like, the Fontenot let Terry Cook thing, look, I said it in the opening segment. I until proven otherwise, I've lost a little bit of faith in Terry Fontenot. I defended him all throughout the Desmond Ridder decision, all throughout the offseason this year. A lot of blaming some of the decisions, some of the draft picks on Arthur Smith. You guys may not like Drake London, may not like Kyle Pitts, may not like Bijan Robinson, didn't feel we needed him, blah, blah, blah. I blame that on Arthur Smith. And now Terry Fontenot makes a pick I just have a real tough time reconciling with in the terms that I felt we were led to believe as Falcons fans. And that is that we were in win-now mode and we were going all in. And I don't think that taking Michael Penix is going all in. That's my frustration. Again, it doesn't mean you can't win. It doesn't mean Braylon Trice won't be an alpha. It doesn't mean Ruka Roro won't be rookie of the year defensively. Maybe he will. I don't know. I just don't feel like you maximize the likelihood. That's my frustration. All right, when we come back, we're going to do a very quick version of the PM Power Rankings, and then we'll get right back to your calls on the other side. We'll try and get a couple in, including Ty, who I know has been holding on for a moment. That's coming your way. It is Abe Gordon, 92.9 The Game, in the Odyssey app.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into the Kia Studios on a Monday evening, 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here taking you all the way to 10 o'clock. Been some interesting discussion, both good and bad, right and wrong, in regards to the Atlanta Falcons draft. Where do you stand? I was a little frustrated. Just to recap quickly, I'm frustrated because I don't feel like they maximize their opportunity to win now. That's my opinion. I understand the reasoning behind Michael Penix Jr. In fact, despite me feeling it's the wrong path, I wouldn't have done it. I can understand why Terry Fontenot sees that as the road to go for this team. And ultimately, we'll find out who was right, who was wrong as we go through the next couple seasons with Kirk Cousins, with Michael Penix, as we find how close the Falcons can get to a Super Bowl with Cousins, what sort of level of performance they can get from Penix when he does take over. Real quick, though, every night I'm hosting 92.9 The Game tonight, I rank a sports topic and a non-sports topic, It is the PM Power Rankings.
It's time for the PM Power Rankings on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, we're going to speed run this thing tonight because I want to get back to the phone calls. And so real quick, the topics given to me by Oren last time. Dom gave me these. The sports topics. Top five games that I've attended, sports games I've attended. And the top five brands of frozen pizza is the non-sports topic.
These are two good ones, though. So
I'll start with the games I've attended. And it's kind of – obviously, this is going to be different for everyone depending on what you've attended. So the 2013 Rose Bowl, Stanford and Wisconsin. Stanford band played in a, quote, ode to cheese during their halftime show in favor of Wisconsin. Pretty funny. Decent game. 2012 BCS. That was Alabama versus LSU, the rematch of the century. LSU crossed the – midfield line one time in the second half.
Trent Richardson run late kind of sealed
was,
it.
It was a beatdown. 2008, a 7-2 Tampa Bay Rays win over the Twins. It was important and memorable because it was the first time the Rays clinched a playoff berth. I was credentialed, went into the locker room, champagne bath, all that, shower, whatever. It was a bleep show. It was fun. Number two, 05. November 2005, number one Duke comes to Indiana for a basketball game, ACC Big Ten Challenge. I got floor seats. It was rocking. Duke did win, but it was close, competitive, considering how bad the Indiana teams were back then. That was a good one. And number one, the 2008 cocktail party. That was Tim Tebow and Matt Stafford, Joe Hayden, AJ Green, all that stuff. So that was my sports topic.
That was the infamous.
That was
timeouts. Called by Urban Meyer
Well, I always remember it because Matt Stafford threw an early second-half pick to Joe Hayden, who returned it 95 yards down.
And that was the infamous also. Yeah. Sean Moreno got baptized by Brandon Sparks.
Yeah, so there was all sorts of things on that one. So top five brands of frozen pizza. Number five, Stouffer's. They have that French bread pizza.
Thick.
Comes in pairs of two. They come in pairs of one. I eat them in pairs of two.
You buy two boxes of them, yes.
Well, I just make two of them at a time. It comes in half cut, whatever. Number four, California Pizza Kitchen. Hooked me up with that Sicilian man. We'll get it going. Number three, Bagel Bites. I counted it. It counts.
Do they?
Yeah. I eat them sometimes when I'm in the mood for frozen pizza.
All
so,
right.
Number two, Tombstone. And number one, Red Baron. Sorry, DiGiorno. It doesn't sit well with me. Not great. It
doesn't rise when you cook. You don't want that one?
They tried too hard, too many different things. And as much as I like creativity and new items at Taco Bell, I don't need that in my pizza. Okay. The croissant crust, like I just don't eat some of that stuff. All right, what are our topics for tomorrow's show, Orin?
You want sports or non-sports?
Start with sports.
All right, so I need five sports, sir, that you need to rank these, that you would like to be an MVP caliber player in. So the sports that you like you wish you were the absolute best in.
All right. That's going to be money related, but go on.
Uh-huh. Fair enough. And your non-sports one, sir. Top five movie duos.
All right. I can work with that.
Yeah.
Top five movie duos, non-sports, top five sports I'd like to be MVP. And that's coming your way tomorrow at 8:40. We're going to have a lot of Falcons talk tomorrow as well. We're continuing on the phones right now. I see one line open, 404-726-0929. Let's go ahead and kick things off line two with Ty, who's been gracious enough to hold on a little while. What's going on, Ty?
Hey, man, what's going on?
What's happening, brother? What do you think about the Falcons?
You and Turtle, but you guys have been very harsh, man.
Just frustrated.
Take it easy.
Just frustrated, that's all.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Do you expect Kirk Cousins to play 17 games this season and 17 games next season? Be honest with me.
I keep being told that we have one of the five best offensive lines in the NFL. That's what I've been told. I've been told we have one of the top five offensive lines in the NFL. So if that's the case, then yes.
Okay, but you still haven't told me. You haven't told me that you think he's going to play 17 games this season, 17 games next season. And the thing is, I see nothing wrong with the quarterback pick. It's something, you know, for us down the road. It's also good for marketing for the Falcons. But at the same time, Aaron Rodgers got hurt in the first series. So we don't know what a 36-year-old quarterback who's took the wear and tear, you know, from one of the best divisions of football, We don't know what he's going to do.
But
are we going to go 6-11?
Here's my thing,
Ty.
Here's my thing.
Are we going to go 6-11 next 2 years?
Here's the thing. If that's the premise, why even pay him $100 million? I don't mind the pick for various reasons in terms of Penix. I'm not using the Penix pick as an insurance policy. Like that's not a reason to not go all in. You're either all in right now or you're not.
I totally understand it, but it's part of the market, too. It's the market value for a quarterback now as opposed to 20 years ago.
Then don't do it. You don't see other teams drafting quarterbacks in the top 10 because they're worried about someone getting hurt. That's not why you draft a guy. Like, that's the only reason I won't listen to people about Penix. It's like, well, in case Cousins – like, that's the wrong defense for it.
I totally understand it, but at the same time, we don't know what Kirk Cousins is going to do for us this year or next year. Everybody's pretty much pinning him in to take us to the Super Bowl. We don't know how he's going to come off that injury.
If you have those concerns, you can't pay him. If those are the concerns, then you can't pay him. Then you can't pay him. Then the money is spent better elsewhere. If that's the concern, then let's do this the right way. Let's draft Penix at 8, use the money elsewhere to build other parts of the team.
The other quarterback we had at age 36 was Chris Chandler. And in 2001, we drafted Michael Vick. So sooner or later, you have to have a succession plan. I understand it came a little bit early, very unexpected, but I'm cool with the pick.
Look,
from,
I'm fine
Mr.
with the
success.
Here's
Thank
the
you.
Thing. Appreciate it. Thank you for the call, Ty. I'm fine with the succession plan. I understand that. But all I'm suggesting, and the reason I'm frustrated, it is not a selection along the path that I believed we were on. I'm absolutely comfortable with taking Michael Penix as a succession plan. Then don't tell me we're in win now mode. Don't tell me we're going all in, because you're not. That's where my frustration comes from. My frustration has nothing to do with Michael Penix and whether I think he's a good pick for this team. My frustration comes from the idea that I thought we were on one path, and this draft pick tells me we're on a different path. That's the whole thing for me. I thought we were going all in to win now. This is not a pick, in my opinion, that maximizes the likelihood you can do that. Again, does not mean you can't win it all. Does not mean you won't win it all. It's just tougher. It's just less likely because you didn't take a player that can impact this team now. And again, if Kirk Cousins gets hurt, we're all going to be happy, we think, because we assume Michael Penix is going to get the job done. We're all going to be happy that we drafted him. And that's fine. That can't be the main reason you took him, though. The main reason you took Penix can't be for insurance this year. Because if those are the concerns you have, you never should have paid Cousins. You never should have paid him. Money could have been used elsewhere. Continuing the phone calls, line 3, we got Chris. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, this is actually Chris's son. So what I think on the Falcons, I think they should have traded back to get Dallas Turner and potentially got a second-round pick or another first-round pick to get a cornerback.
Yeah, here's the thing. I actually don't think the opportunity to trade back was there. I think the Vikings put a bluff on the Atlanta Falcons. I think the Vikings were comfortable at 11 saying, we don't think the Falcons are going to take a quarterback at 8. We know the Bears aren't going to take a second one at 9, and neither are the Jets at 10. And I think they had calls to those three teams behind the Falcons that said, hey, or excuse me, two teams, 9 and 10, that said, hey, if anyone calls you about a trade, let us know, we'll match it or improve upon it. They didn't make that call to the Falcons. I don't think they were worried about the Falcons taking a quarterback. I really do think there was a bluff involved. And it came back to bit the Vikings, who probably should have and could have traded up and gotten Michael Penix. And now they're stuck with a guy that I quite frankly have a lot more questions about than I would have Penix. I think the idea to trade back was there. I actually think it didn't materialize. And I think that's part of the issue. And that's obviously part of this. And we'll never know. I actually do think they wanted to trade back, and they didn't get an offer that was good enough, and they decided, okay, then here's what we're going to do. And we take Michael Penix, and we try and build a dynasty, if you will. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't think there was an offer that they could accept, and that's fine. But I also just am not going to be prepared to say that we were or are in win now mode or have gone all in. One more call here, Decatur Slim, line four. What's going on, Decatur Slim?
ATL to the ATL. Listen, guys, all you mad in general managers, y'all got to sit back and trust the process, man. It's not a bad pick. I was just as shocked as everybody else, man. We weren't looking for pennies. We were looking for a defensive end. But I just looked it up. Five of the top 10 guys who led the league in sacks are not even first-round picks. So who's to say that some of these guys that we did draft, you know, won't make an impact?
Well, hold on. You said five of the top 10. What about the other five?
First-round pick.
All right, come on. You see, all right, okay. You see what I'm saying, though?
Listen, Abe. We don't know. Raheem, he developed a couple guys from mid rounds last year to make an impact on the team.
Yeah,
so
Kobe Turner, most saying, notably.
Trust the process.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying, trust the process. You know, Michael Penix is a good athlete. I think nobody is arguing that. I'm just saying, it's not an insurance policy. It's just looking out for the future. We might strike on some of these mid-round picks. It's just a matter of, you know, trusting the process, letting the new coach, the new staff, you know, put their impact on the guys that they drafted. We don't even know what D'Angelo Malone, Clark Phillips, some of the guys in the previous drafts, you know, we haven't even seen their full potential. So I'm just saying, relax, Atlanta. Relax, ATL. Relax, ATL. Let's get off of the Madden general managers and let's let Terry cook, man. I know Buddy said that he burned the kitchen down, but he's still cooking, man. Let's give him a shot.
Yeah, I appreciate the call there, Decatur Slim. A couple things before we break here. This is the process that's also led us to three straight seven-win seasons. Like that's the process we're talking about. So I don't know if trust the process is the mantra. I'd like to see a different process, and partially that's what they've done. I guess there's something. And the other thing, yeah, maybe you do hit on some mid-round picks, and maybe they do become war daddies, as Randy McMichael and Andy Bunker call them, but maybe they don't. And maybe Dallas Turner does, or maybe Latu does. It's the fact that you didn't try. That's what bothers me. It's the fact that when Kirk Cousins signs here and is told we're going all in, we're going to do everything we can to build a winner around you, and then you don't. And that doesn't mean you don't hit on mid-round draft picks and get lucky and they develop, and you do. Like, maybe you do win. But if it doesn't, did you really go after it all? Did you really maximize the likelihood you win? That's where my frustration comes out. All right, Kareem's been hanging on for a little bit. We're going to talk with him on the other side. Also, Aaron and Oliver hanging on the lines. We got a couple open, 404-726-0929. Taking your phone calls all night long, reacting to the Atlanta Falcons draft. Appreciate all the calls tonight. A lot more people calm and cool and collected, more so than I am. Coming back your way, it's Abe Gordon, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.